Oh, you thought that was a wrap? You thought that was over? Oh, welcome back, NFL. So much fun morning all the way until the very last play of last night's Sunday night football game. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats. Welcome on in. We're going to have fun over the next few hours like we do every single day. 20 minutes from now, we're going to break down Monday night football, some betting angles for Vikings and Bears. We're going to do this one last time before they kick off tonight. Case of the Mondays later this hour. At 10 a.m. Eastern, Jarrett Payton will be dropping by. He's a Bears analyst for those that are not in town here. Monday morning market moves. Those are back. College football and NFL also in the second hour. New segment, Monday Moons. We'll find out where the room is at. Sam, I don't know about you, but that is one thing that I loved over the weekend. People kept checking in. Where's the room? Oh, the room sucks again, guys. How you doing?
Room went 1-4 in college football.
Yeah.
Room went 1-4 in the NFL. Room bad. Very, very bad.
Uh-huh. How are you doing? How are you feeling in your little closet there? Jake's closet. Which
I'm
sounds
so close
terrible.
To Jake. We're touching hands right now.
Hi.
Gross.
Yesterday I was sitting on Grant's lap for You Better You Bet Countdown to Kickoff. It's a very, very small room here at the Score. And I thought I was going to come here because I thought you were going to be here, but then you said no chance.
Zero chance.
Zero.
Not because I don't want to be there. Well, I mean, that is part of it, where on a Monday morning, there's a lot of things we have to do, a lot of prep time. Like, there's a lot of work, believe it or not, that goes into it, making sure that everything is organized. So I'm in the car an hour, but that's not the main reason. The main reason is the wife is out of the country for work. Kids have school and events after school and all that stuff. So I'm just looking to get – it's another week. I'm just looking to get by. That's all it is, man. Last week it was, okay, Tucker's still alive. We got by last week. This week, wife out of town. So being mommy and daddy, I guess, and we're just trying to get by. But that's not the headline. The headline is the NFL is back. We got a hit last night. That's where we start. I mean, we figured we would go there. But I wasn't sure when we were looking at that game. It's a 40-25 score. There's 4 minutes left to go. I wasn't sure if that was going to be the lead. It wasn't looking like the best game. Lamar, super impressive, of course, in the Ravens. And then the Bills come back. I know what you were thinking. At least I have an idea what you were thinking. You've mentioned it before, and many people have, about the last year in that stadium and all that. You have a win like that on opening night in front of your crowd as a home underdog, didn't the brain just automatically go to team of destiny? Like that's kind of how I felt with that comeback, but we can go into detail about how it all went down. What was your reaction?
I thought John Harbaugh was awful in that game. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to look at what happened when you have all the answers at the end of the test. But there were several things that the Ravens did wrong. How did they not run down the clock in the first half, which gave Buffalo just enough time to get that Allen pass to the sideline with 1 second on the clock? The Ravens are running to the locker room, and then the officials come out and say, no, come back, Baltimore. There's 1 second left. That's a timing issue, a clock issue that should not have happened. How about when the Ravens are up 15 late in the game? And they have the ability to go for two. Because if you go for two, you make it a three-score game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I mean, that's simple math. You're up 15. If you kick the extra point, you're up two scores still. You're up 16, but that's two touchdowns and two two-pointers. They go for the extra point and miss it. So they're still up 15, which allows Buffalo to crawl back in. And then I don't understand, Joe. It's fourth and a long two or a short three. How do you not go for it? And this is somebody who has Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. And I sent you my live bet. I popped Buffalo live,
man,
at 11
okay, so
to 1.
How much time was left in the game?
They were down 40-25.
Yep.
There were 8 minutes to go.
Eight minutes.
And Buffalo was 11 okay. to 1. And I said, this is probably going to lose. I sent you the slip. You saw it. And I put it in not thinking it was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We saw bigger numbers, though, in the final minute. I saw somebody had a 40-1 and a 30-1 ticket that
wow.
tweeted at us. But you need 2 yards. 2 yards, and they punted away to Josh Allen. I thought Baltimore just blew it point blank.
Yeah. Okay, so you're right about all of those points, but there's also a lot more. And when I talk about a lot more, I mean, what a game, first off. We had almost 1,000 yards between the two teams, 929 total yards. It's an awesome game. Now, that deflection, first off, you're down by 15, and you mentioned that. And, like, you're thinking, there are 4 minutes left. It's a 15-point game. Oh, okay, so you still got a chance. You have Josh Allen on your side. It's a two-score game. But they needed 3 scores, which is amazing. If you know they need 3 scores, maybe the thinking is completely different. Like, there's no chance, and it still ends up happening. That Coleman touchdown on another 4th and 2 for the Bills, a deflection. Could you make the case that that was luck? Well, you make your own luck. Things go your way. It happened. Gets a deflection, bounces right to Coleman in the end zone. You could say that was lucky. It was just things going the Bills' way. How about the Henry fumble? You rip the ball away from Derrick Henry, that beast. Is that something that normally happens? Not usually. And he had an unbelievable game. And, I mean, then you get a guy who just joined you for the game-winning field goal. I mean, what a setup that was. On that Henry fumble, they were moving. It's like, okay, they're moving the ball. They're going to be able to kill the clock here because they're going to get a couple of first downs, and this puppy's going to be over. But that was certainly not the case last night. You know, I'm just – you're a Ravens fan. You're a Ravens backer. You're like, how do they lose that game? How does that happen? 9.2 yards per attempt for Lamar, 8.6 yards per play. I mean, they run for 238 yards. Once again, like the divisional matchup in the playoffs, Sam, Ravens win the box score, don't win the game.
Josh Allen, again, unbelievable too. In the fourth quarter, from Howard Simon, he put this out on X. Josh Allen in the fourth quarter, 16 of 21, 251 yards, a passing touchdown, and 2 rushing touchdowns. That was his fourth quarter. Insane. And I love X. Jake and I talk about this all the time. There's nothing better during a live game than X because all of the people that were running around with their Ravens bets and their Ravens slips. Wah, wah, wah. How about that clown, Sean Perry, that guy in Vegas who posted a $200,000 slip celebrating his bet on Ravens -1, asking Jeffrey Benson, hey, pay me out early and I'll save you $1,000. He's in the stands too in Buffalo, celebrating, taunting Bills fans. And then Bills hit the field goal at the end and somebody poured beer all over his head from the section above as he lost a $200,000 bet that he celebrated early. A premature celebration, some would say. And then, oh, Josh Allen's a bust. Josh Allen will never win the big one. Typical Bills, typical Bills. And then that happens.
It is hard to watch that game. And then you see some of the other contenders playing this weekend in the AFC. I'm talking about Kansas City, those that were making the case for Denver. Or like, I'm like, well, what if Houston plays closer to the way that they played a couple years ago? Defense was awesome. Offensive problem. You don't want to overreact too much ever. But it is hard to watch that game and those other teams that people have talked about and consider somebody else representing the AFC in the Super Bowl outside of one of those two teams.
No doubt. Kansas City, I could meet you there if you wanted to, but even they look lethargic in their first game. Now, that's a weird game. It's not even in the country. A lot of things go wrong in games like that. But one more stat. I know we're a numbers-driven show, so let's give you more numbers. According to ESPN, the Ravens have now lost 8 games since 2021. Where they had a win probability of at least 90%. 8 games in the last, 4 years and change where they've had a 90% chance and they lose all 8.
Yep. All right. That was a great hit. But outside of your live hit, how'd it go? How'd it go for you? I mean, I felt I had too many bets. In the end, it was, all right, 5-5. That's pretty much what I did. 5-5. There were some sides that were awful calls. There was a total that was a god-awful call as well, missed by a million, but it counts as one loss. I only did one prop between sides and totals. I told you, had way too many, ended up with 9 on those, but in the end, I just eat the juice going 5-5. How about you?
The bets that mattered that were big enough, I split. Raiders, Giants. Mm-hmm. I did it again. I listened to every sharp guy all summer tell me the Giants were going to fight. The Giants were going to be better than people think. The Giants were going to cover 6. They suck. Now, it didn't help that their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, got ruled out yesterday. I didn't expect that. And that changed the entire offensive line situation.
Sure.
But I made 2 decent pops. Raiders and Giants went 1-1. In the contest, I think I went 3-2. I haven't even checked yet. And in 3 survivor entries, we had Denver, San Francisco. Holy crap, dude. What a sweat.
Oh, man. You know, I talked about that Giants play yesterday morning on BetMGM Game Day. But also during that show is when I knew that that was dead. That was dead. Because the Giants were a public dog. They were the second most popular bet of all the sides yesterday over at BetMGM. Number 1, Steelers. Loser. Number 2, Giants. Loser. Number 3, Broncos minus 8.5. Loser. Number 4, Cardinals. Minus, what was it? No, I'm sorry, Detroit plus 2. Number 5 was Cardinals, minus 6.5. They got by the hook, right? Yeah, they won by 7.
Yep.
Top 4 all losers yesterday. The room still sucks. College, NFL, whatever you want to do. Even though people want to chirp about the – Sam, you're wrong about the Illini, and that was the most popular bet.
Talk about that. Don't worry. If Illinois can force 5 turnovers a game, they're going to win the national championship.
What was the game that you were locked in the most? Besides last night, which game did you watch the most snaps of?
Raiders, Patriots, every single snap.
Yes.
Every single snap. Every toe planted down. I had so many Boston people texting me at half. Oh, oh, Drake May. Oh, yeah. Vrabel fixed everything in the offseason. You know, he fixed the quarterback, the offensive line, the corner, the safety. He fixed everything. He just dropped in and waved the wand. Mike Vrabel was going to turn a 4-win team into a 10-win playoff team. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Didn't hear that yesterday. And by the way, Vrabel had an awful game. Some of his in-game decisions, very, very questionable, as you saw there. I'll answer my own question. I didn't expect it to be this. Tennessee-Denver. You mentioned what you did in Survivor. And I didn't plan on doing this, but I was very uneasy with Kyler. And I talked about his losing record when he's a favorite. I just didn't like it. And I'm not saying I was wrong. Like, Arizona won that game. Kyler sucked. Like, the Saints were in that the entire game. But 10 pools, 33 entries overall. Let's go Broncos. All in.
Yeah.
Everyone.
All in.
That was, yeah, me and KIV did the same thing. I was like, that, I lost years yesterday. And don't worry, some of that is going to come back with Case of the Mondays, some of what we saw in that game. The Titans had 80 opportunities to win the game.
I know.
80. But the thing is, it goes back to why you take Denver. Because of that defense, in that environment, like, Cam Ward didn't have much of a chance, but his teammates weren't helping him. I thought he looked fine. The stats look terrible, and people are going to say, oh, rookie quarterback, first game on the road, they suck, da-da-da-da. Cam Ward doesn't have any help. He has no help, whether you talk about the offensive line, on the outside, people actually catching passes. It wasn't his fault. That guy's going to be all right. I don't want to be betting against him later in the season.
To have both Denver and San Francisco simultaneously with $3,000 of entries on the line was terrifying. The fact that they both got through, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I did feel for Paul, though. Sean Payton went for the cover play late in that game. Denver's up 8. He went for the bomb and almost connected.
And I don't know what the hell Sean Payton was on. He's on some serious drugs. That'll come back once again. All right, Vikings-Bears. How do you bet it? You know we've been paying close attention to this game. That's next. This is Bet Sweats. It's our first Monday after an NFL Sunday. It just feels good, Sam. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on the BetMGM Network. We'll get to Bears-Vikings coming up in a quick moment. We'll continue to react to everything that we saw yesterday. But just so you guys understand our thought process, what you're in for if you are kind enough to spend your Monday morning with us throughout the NFL season is, yes, we are going to react, but just as much of that of our show on a Monday morning is going to be looking ahead, because we know you bet. You bet right there with us. Doesn't mean we're on the same plays, but you guys are looking for information, entertainment, maybe some betting angles. You want to know about the next bet, like just rehashing everything that already occurred. You watch it all. You know what happened. It helps us a little bit moving forward to go over some of that, and we'll do that. But a lot of our Monday shows is going to be, okay, what are we doing tonight? How's the market already moving on the NFL in the next week? College football on the next week? Where's the room at? We're going to do all that stuff every Monday here on the show.
I cannot wait for Monday market moves. Everybody was going through their NFL bets yesterday and their parlay tickets and all that stuff. I was waiting. I couldn't wait to get the college football lines for week 3 at Circa, which opened up yesterday at 2:00 Eastern. So as everybody's sweating their parlays and their bets and their teasers and whatever they're sweating yesterday, college lines are moving, and people were picking off bad numbers. So we'll get to that later in the show. But we have to talk about Bet Sweats taking over Chicago. There will be a tailgate party that you're all invited to. Just send me a message on Twitter if you'd like to join. Jake won't be at the tailgate, though, because Jake has to do the other show on the network. Some would call it the flagship show. Jake will not be at the tailgate.
But
I believe Paul will be there. I believe Gertz will be there. I will be there. Kate Constable will be there.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Everybody but Joe O will be at the tailgate today. And Jake.
Do you think all of them will make it?
Yes.
Okay, they will. Okay, what if Jake was in that group that was committed and told you, I will be there? Would you then say everybody's going to be there? Because we know how he can be flaky from time to time.
Jake would be minus 110 each way. Even if he said he was coming, he would be minus 110 yes, minus 110 no.
Yes. Yeah, good question, Paul. Will everyone make it home? Where are you going to go?
I'm not going.
Stuck in Rainbow Beach?
No, I'm not going to Rainbow Beach tonight.
Where are you going to end up? Yes. You don't have to go to the game, but who knows where you end up.
I have to be at the score at 8:00 tomorrow, and Mitch is here. Do you think I'm going to be like that dumb tonight? No. The answer is no.
Short memory? I'm just saying.
If we were in Vegas, I would show up blasted. But we're not in Vegas.
That's true. That's true. All right. Have fun. Say, what's the number? Number of times Sam's going to bring this up and try to make me feel bad?
No, it's already done. We don't need, to kick the horse when it's down. It's an outdoor tailgate, Joe. There's not a dartboard.
Sometimes you can make it happen. You throw one on a tree. Come on. I don't know who the setup. We'll talk about it later coming up.
We'll send pictures. We're probably going to FaceTime you from the tailgate, and odds are good you will not answer. I behaved last night, though.
I'll answer.
Because Dan Aspen sent me a text last night, brother of Paul Aspen, and said, what are we doing tonight? I said, Dan, I can't. I got a long day tomorrow. I got to be up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he said, wow, you've changed. I said, well, that's not true. I just have to be responsible tonight. No, tomorrow night's a different story. But we have some big news in this game that came across yesterday. Harrison Smith is not going to go for the Vikings. And I think I was sort of leaning towards an under in the game, but there are two players that are very important to this total. And I know we would say that a safety and a corner aren't worth a ton, but if we don't have Harrison Smith from Minnesota and Jalen Johnson for Chicago, is that Is that an under you really want to be on? This is like 43.5 right now. BetMGM, 43.5. Most books, aside from Pinnacle 44, by the way, are sitting just under that 44. I lean to the under, but when I heard about Smith and I don't know about Johnson, I don't know if I can play that under anymore, Joe.
Okay, what do you trust more? Like you possibly removing those players from the scenario. And I'm really talking about Johnson. I mean, I put Jalen Johnson at a different level than Harrison Smith at this point. There was a time where you would put Harrison Smith up there, but Jalen Johnson now, what he does as a corner, yeah, I think he's on a different level. But, okay, so if you're going Oppo, you're saying we're going to get scoring in this game because those two important pieces are not involved. What about Darrisaw? He's questionable for this game, left side of the line for the Minnesota Vikings. What about game number one, Caleb, year two in the NFL, his second offense? Is Ben Johnson, how ready is Caleb going to be? Caleb has a new offensive line, three new starters from left guard to right guard. The Vikings have essentially a rookie quarterback with three new starters on the offensive line from left guard to the right guard, right in the center. So if you're going to say over, you've got to be able to trust that offense a little bit because some important pieces on defense are out. But which offense do you trust more? Do you trust both of them? Because typically in an over, we're thinking both sides are going to do their part.
Unders did go 11-2 yesterday.
Oh,
so,
man. And I found one of the overs to bet under.
We got a tweet from a listener who had a really nice parlay ticket. We should talk about this. This is from Red Zone Blues on X. He's got a nice position right now. So he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 unders come in for him. So a 9-pick parlay, all unders. 8 of the 9 are in. The only remaining leg is Minnesota-Chicago under 44.5. And he's asking, what should I do? Now, the bet, I don't know that there's a price on this. Oh, no, there is.
Okay. Bonus bet.
Okay, all right.
So
I saw the payout price. He did a $5 bonus bet to win $1,700. And the last leg is tonight under 44.5. What do you do?
So smart. I mean, first off, the entire angle was smart. Week one, divisional matchups, play all the unders. Parlay them together with this $5 bonus bet that's sitting in my account. Very smart play. Love it. Yeah, what do you do? So he risks $0. Zero. And he's got the potential to win $1,720. Saw this tweet come in yesterday during all the games. My immediate reaction was, without thinking about it, I just said, okay, all right, I'm going to put $500 on the over.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, okay, that loses. I'm still netting $1,200. And I'm not Mr. Hedge guy. But do you want to risk it all on the Bears-Vikings total coming under with these important defensive pieces possibly missing this game, like you just chronicled? So, yeah, I mean, my first thought was the bet cost me nothing. Yeah, I would probably do that.
I guess it really depends on how much $1,700 is to you. It's not easy for me to answer this because it's not my bet. You know, we can discuss what we would do if it was our bet. I would probably just ride it. I think the game is going to be 21-17 Minnesota. So I lean under. I don't hate your idea of netting something, though. I don't know that I would go 500 because then if it's a 7-6 rock fight, you're going to be like, why did I bet 500? I mean, everything is results driven with our hedges, right? What happens and what doesn't happen. But if he made a $5 free bonus bet to win $1,720, he did his job picking off the first 8 of 9 games in that parlay. So 8 unders, needs one more. I would probably just ride it, but you have to decide for yourself, Bob. It's not up to Joe. It's not up to me. It's really what makes you comfortable. If you want to just see the ball go through the hoop and take some money out of this, You could bet $100 or $200, and then you're going to win no matter what.
Yeah.
Joe likes a little bit nicer of a hedge. That's fine. Others would say you only bet $5 on it. It's really up to you. Like, I could never tell somebody what to do because it's not my life and not my money. But you put yourself in a very, very good spot no matter what.
Another idea would be some alt-unders at better prices, because you look at how these divisional matchups hit yesterday. It was wild, most of them. Like, it hit by a ton. San Francisco, Seattle. Like, that missed the total by 2 touchdowns. You look at, I don't know, like, what were some of the other ones? Washington, New York Giants, 27 points in that game. The total was 45.5. Like, there were a handful of games that were missing by 2, 3, even 4 scores. So maybe alt unders could be something for you. But then you're not guaranteeing yourself anything. You could end up losing both sides. Maybe you watch it live. Maybe there's something there. The total starts moving, and you could hit both sides of it. That's another possible angle.
Well, the good thing about this bet that our listener made is that he got a good number. He bet under 44.5. And as we talked about, the market is now 43.5. So technically, the odds are highly against this middle. But if he were to take his parlay, which has under 44.5, and make a straight bet over 43.5, if this game lands 27-17, he'd hit the nuts. He'd win them both.
Yeah. Maybe things go your way. You're watching live, and you can get a much bigger middle. That would be another idea. But, yeah, there's a lot of different ways to play it. Great job on the bet. Bears-Vikings tonight. You have a play on the side. I do not. There's some props that I like in this game. I don't have anything on the side. We were just talking about the total a little bit. For those that weren't with us last week or all summer, what do you think about the side tonight?
I have more invested in Minnesota for the season. If the Vikings lose this game, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not getting crazy. It's the last game of the week. I feel good about the weekend. Don't need to push all my chips in week one Monday night. I do think the Vikings win. But I look at how discombobulated Detroit looked on offense without Ben Johnson. And you think, wow, was he really that important? I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out over time. But Jared Goff, as you and I have talked about for many years now, needs everything to go right. Needs the perfect line, the perfect weapon room, the perfect coordinator, the perfect play calling. And when he doesn't have that, he stinks. And he stunk yesterday. So maybe I'm a little bit nervous because Ben Johnson might actually be a competent head coach, which the Bears haven't had in a long time. I gave you my final score, 21-17 Minnesota. That's what I think. That's my prediction. So I would like Minnesota, and I would like the under. But I haven't done anything crazy with that. My Minnesota stock is more macro. It's more Vikings to make the playoffs, and I have some pieces of Jonathan Greenard to have a big season. But, I mean, this could be Chicago. Easy. I mean, it's a pick'em game. So it's hard to get too confident. Like, I don't feel crazy good about Minnesota winning. I think they do win, but I'm not going to back up the Brinks truck or anything like that.
Ooh, Greenard to get a sack, plus 225.
Oh, right, he's going to have 3.
Okay, we got to bet that, I guess. All right, yeah. We just found another bet. All right, I'm loading up the props, apparently. Okay. Yeah, plus 225. I was surprised that I could find Parsons at plus money, even though it's a tougher matchup, but that Greenard one is something worth looking at. Touchdown props is what I'm eyeing. Now, let's talk about the Minnesota backfield. The idea is they're probably going to run the ball more with McCarthy, and he's starting his NFL career tonight, and he's on the road. We know that the Bears fans are going to be electric until they start sucking, and then they'll start booing them right away because that's what they do. But we talked to Charch about it, and he covers this team very closely living up in Minnesota. And the way they beefed up the middle of that offensive line, just like the Bears did, he's expecting Jordan Mason to be the guy. Now, Aaron Jones is a Bears killer. That dude always seems to score a touchdown against the Bears. It doesn't matter what uniform he's wearing. He has 13 touchdowns in 15 games against the Bears. I've seen many multi-touchdown games from him. I don't see a touchdown price on Jones. The Mason one is really enticing, plus 170, 12 to 1 for two or more. The other one, which we can get into, I think Loveland's going to have a big part of this offense, man. Anytime touchdown in his first game as a Bear is about 4 to 1. I could see that happening tonight. Yeah, that could be a good look. Joe O, Sammy P, we'll continue to talk about Monday Night Football on the other side, Case of the Mondays. This is the BetMGM Network. That's what's BetMGM Network. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. BetMGMNetwork.com, our YouTube and Twitch pages as well. We have the links up on social media as well, bet_sweats on X. All right, Sam, Case of the Mondays for those that are just jumping in for NFL season. This is when we basically complain about everything that happened over the weekend that really bothered us, that really pissed us off. And, you know, I just sat for 30 seconds, thought about it, and I wrote down like four or five things. Like immediately, there's so much going on yesterday. I love the NFL season. Why don't you start us off? What you got?
It was a very frustrating college Saturday for me in the sense that I thought I made three bets and two of them were handicapped right. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you how I feel. When Texas Tech is a 48-point favorite, is up 55-0, you think you're probably going to cover that game, right? Feel good about it. And then Texas Tech decides we're going to let Kent State score twice. The second score came after Texas Tech's third-string running back fumbled, and then Kent State pounced on it, scored a touchdown. Texas Tech, 62. Kent State, 14. 48. You push. Joe, they were covering at halftime. Now, that's what you get when you lay big numbers. But I thought that was going to be a 70 piece or more. And Tech just kind of stopped putting the foot down on the ground and does not cover. Then I get people sending me tweets about, oh, well, I laid 48.5 or I laid 49. And it's like, okay, well, that essentially is my fault because I was talking about Tech on this show on Friday and there were 48s available. But I think BetMGM had a 48.5. And this book had a 49. And I remember saying on the show on Friday, I would lay up to 49. I did say that. So that is my responsibility. Even though I laid 48 and pushed, it just sucks. It sucks to be in that spot because it's my fault that people made that bet. I think it was the right bet. Clearly, when they're up, what were they up at half? 49-0 at half? And then you would think that that would continue against the worst team in FBS. It just sucks. It's unfortunate. I feel bad for people that laid 48.5 and 49. I think it was the right size. It was the wrong shape. Mm. And then I got a very nice DM. You know, I'm not going to read what it said, but it was about the Kansas pick that I had on Saturday. And Kansas, I talked about on this show and in my newsletter, Kansas +6.5. By kickoff, that line is 5. There was a 4.5. So I did my job, felt like at least I did my job. And then Kansas is up 31-28 with 5 minutes to go, catching 6.5, Joe. How does that lose? Oh, well, Mizzou scored a touchdown, and then Kansas had a third down drop. And then while Mizzou needs one first down to end the game because they get the first down, Kansas is out of timeouts, and we do knee, 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 and it's over. No, Mizzou busted a 63-yard touchdown. And Mizzou wins 42-31. And the sentiment is, nice call on Kansas. Yeah. And it's just so annoying because I don't think those games could have been handicapped any better. And I push and lose, so 0-1-1, but if you tailed Tech at a bad number, you went 0-2. And again, it's my responsibility. I feel very bad about it. It's gambling, man. This stuff happens. Like, I thought Tech was capped perfectly. Everything we talked about happened until the third string running back fumbled and Kent State scored a second touchdown. And then the Kansas one, I mean, that's, you're going to see that tonight on Bad Beats. That's a horrible, horrible beat. +6.5, you're up 3 with 5 minutes to go. And you don't cover 6.5. just a brutal, weird Saturday.
Bad Beats was awesome last week. Like, SVP was ready to go. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like tonight. Good call reminding me that that's going to be on. Got to stay up after the Monday Night Football game to make sure that we watch that. All right, my first case of the Mondays is on something that we all won together, that most of the country won together. Because no matter what pick you made, unless you're a complete moron, you're still alive in Survivor. And I think that's a very good thing. We all like the chaos, especially if it's not on our picks. But yeah, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth if you spend a lot of money and you're out in week number one. You don't even get a second week to get excited about Survivor. And what I'm talking about is the Denver game. We won the game, but I'm still annoyed how it all went down. I didn't bet the side, but it's like, how do the Titans cover when they had 7 first downs the entire game? How do the Titans cover when they had 133 total yards in the game? Well, it's twofold. Bo Nix sucked. So I don't know if we're going to see that regression. We did yesterday. We saw 4 turnovers from the Broncos. And Sean Payton is mentally ill. I don't know what he was doing with some of his thought process yesterday. Like, and people were like tweeting me, and it kind of looked that way. Like, oh, Sean Payton has the Titans on the spread. Sean Payton did not take his Broncos in Survivor, because that's what it looked like. Ridiculous. You had bad coaching on the Tennessee side. We're used to that. They were just giving away points at the end of the first half to Denver. Don't understand that, but I was thankful for it because we needed a Broncos win. But what Sean Payton was doing, there's 1:05 left in the game. It's 20-12, okay? You have a 1-score lead. You're at the Tennessee 36. You're in Denver. You have a better chance of kicking and making a long field goal than anywhere else. This is your home stadium. 4th down from the 36, you have an opportunity to make it a 2-score game, go up 11, make it officially over. Yeah, it's a longer field goal, but no, let's go for it on 4th and long. With the way that Bo Nix was playing yesterday, they go for it. Incomplete. So then what happens? You're giving Cam Ward, with all the potential in the world, one more opportunity to come back, force overtime. And if he had a normal set of receivers, maybe he does. His receivers were dropping everything. He was finding them open over the middle, firing it in there, and they kept dropping it. It was worse than what we saw to CeeDee Lamb the other day. But I don't know what Sean Payton was thinking. Maybe we need to hesitate a little bit because he gets so much credit as a great head coach and all this and that. I don't know. Based on what I saw yesterday with his in-game decision-making, I thought it was very poor, and we were all very lucky to get out of there with a Broncos win against most opponents yesterday. Maybe 28 to 30 opponents, other opponents. The Broncos lose that game, but because they're facing the Titans, they end up winning it.
Very strange decisions in that game, for sure, by Sean Payton. And the fact that they had the ball around midfield up 8 with a top 5 defense, some would say even better, and he decides that he's going to go for it, that was wild. You have the number 1 pick in the draft in that building, in the altitude, against that defense, and you can pin him inside the 10, and you want to gamble.
He made the worst decision.
It honestly felt like Dan Campbell was coaching the Broncos yesterday. It did, because he does dumb stuff all the time, Dan Campbell. And when he wins, that's part of the fabric. That's part of our identity. Ah. No, it's not. It's stupid. And Sean Payton coached stupid. But that said, I texted Paul because I was watching the end of the game because Paul had a great bet. He had Titans plus 9, I think. 8.5 or 9. And you're feeling good because you're really never out of it. And then Payton takes the home run ball. That was the cover ball. That's what that play was. It was the booster play. Let's cover for the boosters in college. And took that shot, and I'm like, oh, no, Paul! And I texted Paul. I'm like, dude, Payton. I'm like, Payton just went for your throat, Paul. Right? You watched it? You saw it?
Game was insane.
I said something. Look, a couple things. I love you guys, but I only had one of like 13 entries on the Broncos. I was fully against the Broncos, and I was also on the Titans, like, obviously correlated. I said something back to Sam. I don't know. Can I say Sean Payton's a dick?
But yes.
Yeah.
Also, you just did.
Yeah. So I think you guys were off during the summer when I said this. Look, Sean Payton has a Super Bowl in New Orleans. That was a long time ago. When's long the last thing Sean Payton won? What's the last thing Sean Payton won? Everyone's just giving him credit to take this mid quarterback to be like elite. Oh, we got his guy, Bo Nix. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I am. You heard it before coming into this game. I'm down on the Broncos. I'm not buying this for a second.
Yeah. You did have it. You had it pegged correctly, no doubt, on Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee was never the wrong side. Even if they didn't cover, that was never the wrong side.
That defense is ferocious, man. Like, I did feel comfortable because a rookie quarterback's got to score a touchdown on that defense. He did not score a touchdown the entire game.
I don't
want to spend a lot of time on this, but since we have a minute, it must be brought up because there's somebody who goes at people, friends of ours, goes at touts all the time, and now GRP is a tout. And his first pick, he had all summer to give one pick in week one, and his first pick as a tout was the Miami Dolphins, who were down 30-0 right away. If you don't find the humor in that, nothing is funny.
Yeah. Dude, it was awesome. It was the worst pick of the day. And I kept going back and forth. It was more of an anti-Indy thing for me. And I talked about it a million times, about how I don't understand why people love Daniel Jones so much. Okay, maybe. He had a great game, but that Dolphins team looks like they got a lot of quit in them. Like, is it already over? We expect McDaniels to get fired. Is he fired in season? Like, that was my thing. Oh, he lost the team week one. He lost the team in camp. That was my reaction, that this might be an ultimate fade team.
Long, long year coming in South Beach.
I can't wait for the week two picks. New bartender?
Bartender went 2-0 yesterday. Easy. Commanders, Sunday night over.
Yeah, oh, man. Killed it. Great calls. All right, we're going to get back to Bears-Vikings next. Jared Payton, a Bears analyst, will drop by. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network.